Hi, welcome back to Eric Gold Coffee.
Welcome back, guys.
Your two favorite retards. Wait, can I say that?
That's not very safe to say. Like, if you want to get monetization, it's not an okay idea.
We're not getting monetization, bro.
We're never getting
monetization. No, we're not getting monetization. So, how are you doing?
Yeah, I'm doing okay. I like the sound still. I hope you can hear that.
Still.
Yeah, I mean, it's not getting boring. It has a nice, you know, little reverb.
You get bored by the sound.
Sometimes, yeah.
Wow.
Like, imagine if you're just inside a carton box.
You would just hear stuff like this, you know, you couldn't hear anything. But imagine if we just recorded in a soft...
Kenny?
But I do like this more. It has almost like a big room.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It has a natural reverb echo. Yeah,
like in a grotto.
Grotto. Okay. But yeah. what do we want to talk about? I forgot.
I actually...
Oh, wait. Yeah, we had something about...
Designing? Developing?
Throwing shit over the fence.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
And yeah, the fence is not physically there.
Well, there is one there, but, you know, yeah. It's just for us to see.
Yeah, so
you just have to imagine a fence being there, okay?
Yeah, but so that's a saying, right? Throwing shit over the fence.
Yeah. Is it only Dutch or is it also like international?
I think it can be applied in an international way.
Okay, good. Because otherwise it doesn't make any sense that we're using this.
Let's explain it anyway, because it's not like physically what's happening.
Well, kind of.
Sometimes it actually is.
It's like you take your own problem and you just, instead of deal with it or get rid of it, you throw it over the fence. So it's someone else's problem. So
that's what the saying means.
You're like shitting your hand and then you throw it over the fence. And then it's like, well, my neighbor's probably going to have to clean this shit up.
Yeah, but you still have your nasty hand. Okay, but yeah, the cleaning up of the shit itself is on the other side of the fence. So you don't have to deal with it anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, I get it.
Yeah, wow.
But in our case, we were talking about like it's more of a metaphor.
Yeah.
It's not physically shitting.
No, there's no physical. We're not shitting in our hands and we're not throwing it over a fence.
Yeah, that's correct. So like in our case, the thing is, the designers that we sit with in the office, they sometimes also complain like we do. And as you may know, in this show, we complain a lot.
Yeah. Welcome to Complain Code Coffee.
Yeah. We, fill you up with our complaints.
Yeah. Why does anyone want to hear our complaints, though?
That's why we don't have any listeners.
Oh, shit. Self-burn. fuck.
Okay. But so could you tell us what they said, the designers?
I don't remember.
You don't? Okay. No. I kind of do. They were saying when they make a beautiful design, they would, you know, work with a third party development company.
Yeah.
And then they would, you know, hand them over the design.
It's like on a plate. Like,
yeah.
Here or go, package. Sir, senpai.
I don't think they use plates.
Here's your design.
You know, it's like wrapping a box.
It's a beautiful. It has to be like, it's presentable.
I don't think that's how it's done. It's like it's packaged and hidden and then they have to unwrap it. And they're like, oh, what the hell is this?
Yeah,
like,
it's just a box of shit.
Yeah.
No, that's not how it works.
Okay.
But yeah,
anyway.
they present and they hand it over.
Yeah, they hand it over to the developers.
Yeah.
And then the developers...
They go to work on the whole design.
The thing is, they have to implement the design into a functional working either website or app.
Yeah, with the whole like ideology or how do you call it? Mindset, no, ideology, I guess.
Design philosophy?
The designers had in mind, it has to be translated to a developed product, right?
Yeah, it's so usually when a design gets into, like, when a design gets created by a design company, there's more to it than just pretty lines and colors and fonts. There's like an ideology or like a fun way, like there's a line that goes through the whole design and they try to keep that design kind of
it's like a vibe or something, I don't know.
It's kind of interesting because I think it's based on their like target audience. Mm. It's also based on research, and it's also it has to somehow comply with, you know, being able to, like, if their target audience is old, they were not gonna use very light colors, low or contrast,
small fonts and stuff like that. Yeah, of course.
So there's a lot of reasoning behind every decision. And
yeah.
So when they hand it over, do the developers even understand that anymore?
Well, that's always been like an issue, right? Some people don't really care about all that stuff.
Yeah.
And they don't really care about usability and stuff. And, you know, it's, they're just developing a design.
You mean they're not actually developing anymore? They're just...
Well, they're just like code monkeys, I guess. Yeah, it's just smashing a keyboard and hoping that something eventually turns out okay. Mm-hmm. And then they go on with their lives and they go home, and then their wife beats them, and then their children are shitty. And
the wife beats them?
What?
You're assuming their gender? Well, actually, they both can have wives, male or female. Okay.
Dude, so that's... Yeah, but, you know, it's just... They don't really care about the end product or the users of the product.
I don't know. Like,
not all developers.
I'm just trying to say, is do they always use crappy development companies that like develop their designs?
Well, to be honest, like the cheapest companies, right? The more the most affordable companies.
Is it?
They kind of cheap out.
So maybe that's the thing, is they don't have enough budget to actually care.
Yeah.
But I honestly think it's somehow of a mindset.
It's a passion. You have to love what you're doing, and you have to be mindful of what you're doing. We have talked about this before.
Have we?
Yeah.
I don't know the episode.
Mindful design or development.
Oh yeah, I do remember. It was a rant that ended up in a very...
Didn't we have like an angelic... Was it? Yeah.
Yeah. But I do think you can somehow switch up that mindset, because as a company and you're developing something, you kind of have to have a guideline where you're heading.
Yeah.
And maybe as a code monkey, you don't have enough time to think about it. But when you're getting the design, when you're getting it in your company, like when you're accepting the design and you're going to work on it, maybe it's a good idea to, you know, take a few hours with the design team to actually discuss their main ideology.
Well, that's happening a lot more over the past few years, right?
Yeah.
Companies are more willing to, or more open to talking through everything that's designed. And, you know, developers don't just get a design and start developing a lot anymore. It still happens, but it's less than it used to be.
Yeah.
I mean, if you hire some Indian guy or something, you're not gonna talk through the whole design. It's just you give like a sketch file or something, and they just develop for cheap.
So you're saying you have a problem with Indian guys?
Wow, that's racist.
Well, you just said it.
No.
You said if you give it to an Indian guy.
I'm just saying.
Okay.
Okay, someone on Fiverr, for example.
Yeah.
Are there developers on Fiverr?
I think there are.
Oh boy.
Like.
Well. I mean, Fiverr is not anymore...
Five. It's not limited by $5.
But still, it's a shitty website, and it's a shitty company. So
The ideology of that company is shitty.
Also that, but they also have some really weird, like, copywriting issues and stuff that. And I don't know. Let's not go into that whole shit, but it's a bad company, okay? And they fuck people over.
Oh, I do believe that.
And, I mean... Also, like every company that has like competitions and stuff like that to be able to get your design picked or whatever, you should just
I'm not proud to say that I haven't made that decision, but the company I worked for once used such a service. But it was okay. I mean,
well, so
it wasn't a huge thing.
If they get paid properly, there's no problem. Yeah. Even though it's a low like price, it's okay. But I just hate the whole like developers lowballing each other and then eventually fucking themselves over with a low estimation or hourly rate.
Eventually all the rates will go low, like just go down.
And, yeah.
But so, okay, let's go back.
Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
If we go back to a company that actually has their own developers and they accepted the design, and so they are going to, you know, just work it out. What do they need from the design company? So they can actually, you know, without too much fuss, just like implement their design into multiple contexts.
Yeah, so it's of course the design.
Yeah.
It's like some basic research, like UX research, I guess. Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of documentation, I think, like the whole mindset, yeah. Like the whole the goals that they're trying to achieve, mm-hmm. how they do yeah. that, and all that kind of stuff. It's like a lot of data, I guess.
Yeah, it's maybe more of like comments in code, like what you're trying to achieve with that specific aspect.
Wait, you're talking about developers?
I was talking about designers.
Okay.
But like for developers, if you're trying to make somebody understand your code,
yeah, you're going to have to comments and stuff
yeah,
like that. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to like, if, especially if it's a hard to grasp concept
yeah.
by just looking at it, you would have to, you know, make it somehow understandable by writing a comment that goes beyond explaining technically what's happening.
Yeah.
You're going to have to explain your, like your mindset and the strange sounds I'm hearing.
Dude. It's probably a wedding or something.
Woohoo!
But yeah.
Yeah.
I think like the whole problem most of the time is communication between both parties.
Hmm.
And that's like the whole throwing shit over the fence yeah. issue, right? A lot of times a company is just done with their part and it's just, well, here you go. Yeah. Good luck. Or yeah. they're not even saying good luck. It's just, here's some shit. And yeah.
It's out of our hands now. Yeah. So you deal with it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not a problem anymore.
It's kind of an interesting concept because technically it still is not their, like they're going to get paid in any way, but shouldn't you feel a bit more, you know,
you need to have like yeah. some how do you call it, yeah, you have
responsibility
to, yeah almost. Responsibility yeah. yeah, it's like you're the creator of this yeah. thing and you should feel some, like, I don't know, it's like parenting or something.
Yeah, it's your baby, so you got to take care of it.
Yeah, but also, I mean, you want it to grow up yeah. nicely, you know?
You want it to be successful to,
yeah,
to
exactly.
succeed in
yeah.
the world.
So that's what the designers here also like struggle with, is they yeah. create a beautiful design where they really think through about all the mm-hmm. other aspects that are important for the client and yeah. also their customers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the developers of... you know, take that design yeah. and then it's just gone. The whole, like, the mm-hmm. passion and the love and the
yeah.
attention to details and also the attention yeah. to, you know, the whole, like, target audience is just gone.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that sucks.
Yeah. It's more like people just try to check boxes, you know? Like, they have yeah, a checklist
yeah.
and they're like, oh, these are the pages, these are the designs, we're going to check these boxes. If we finish this and we can visually show them that it's done and it looks similar, doesn't have to be perfect, that's their ideology, right?
Yeah.
If it looks similar and it works, then it's done and it doesn't have to, you know, it doesn't have to flow or it doesn't have to portray a specific style or image
yeah
that the designers had in mind. Mm. And that's kind of interesting because I would assume as a good designer you do already, you know, you there's a kind of like image you portray. The first time you see like a landing page, you get this vibe. Like, depending on which company you have, mm. you get a different vibe, right?
Yeah.
So as a developer, you kind of should keep that vibe in mind when yeah. you're developing other pages.
Yeah, true.
And especially if it's not designed yet, you should definitely like take a minute to think, how would the designer implement this
mm.
page?
Yeah.
And yeah.
So let's take a quick break.
Sounds good.
Yeah, we'll talk later. So yeah, we're back.
Welcome back.
To Errorcode Coffee.
Wow, it's not another episode. It's the second part of episode 2.
Yeah, mm-hmm. episode 2 of season 2.
Ooh.
Yeah, look wow. at us being all fancy and stuff.
That's pretty cool, actually.
Is it?
2-2.
Okay. Yeah, but yeah. we're talking about like providing enough information for like a style guide,
yeah.
right?
Yeah, like nowadays designers are putting more time and effort into actually showing like the handoff or the handover
yeah.
to developers. It has to be less, you know, deliverable-y. It has to have more of a
less waterfall-y, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's not like you hand it over and you're done. The developers have to have some kind of like know-how and the idea behind the design.
Yeah, and also I think if you do that, provide more context with your design, I think also the developer gets more easily invested, or, you know, probably gonna take some more care about the whole project.
Yeah.
If there's not always, of course,
but yeah, definitely. If there's like a mindset they can get into,
yeah,
which they maybe not be able to get into if they hadn't had the information.
Yeah, I mean, it's also, if you just get a design and it's just like, well, okay, let's make the design, I guess, and then yeah, not a lot of care is involved.
So they're using style guides.
Yeah. Nowadays,
designers are using style guides, right?
Yeah.
Is that the main reasoning? Like the main idea behind the style guide?
The main reason behind the style guide is, I think, that they want to make sure that everything is consistent throughout the design or the design of the developed project, right? So they want to make sure that if some headings are added later on, it still fits in that whole like style.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, that adds a lot of, how do you call it? Accessibility, or it makes it a lot easier for a developer to work with.
But that's not like, it's not enough usually, right?
No.
So we were talking about data and communication, like the concept behind the design.
Yeah.
Should they kind of like, is there a spot or a place for that in the style guide?
Yeah, I think in the style guide, there should be some information why some things are made a certain way.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, there's like, you don't have to type out a whole like adventure or a whole story about why something
the
is
philosophy,
but I mean it's just it's like with development, you always write comments to just quickly kind of, you know, describe how something works or why you did something a certain way. I think that should also be the case with design, and that's something you can do in the style guide. So just like, why is this navigation this way? Why is it a hamburger menu or something, you know? It's just, if there's like a small description why it is what it is, then, you know.
Yeah, well, as you can hear, there's a fanfare outside. I hope it's not too loud.
Oh,
but yeah, recording on a Saturday in the city is kind of
I love it.
It's kind of interesting, but I don't know, we'll see if it works.
Yeah, it should be okay with the recording, but it's still kind of funny that
everything's just happening.
Yes, all this, a bunch of cars honking, and then there's for some reason today there's a guy sawing some wood or something.
Yeah,
and then this is fucking bands. Okay, but yeah.
So
what?
Let's wrap it up for the style, like design versus throwing shit over the fence. What should a designer do to make sure that their design is going to be implemented well and has a consistent and
I mean, there are a lot of different scenarios, of course, but what I think should happen is that a designer should be able to contact the developer or developers that are going to take on the project.
Yeah.
Maybe have like a sit down or like a session together and talk through the design and, you know, just make sure that developer knows what's happening. And it would be really nice if like the developer can contact the designer and ask questions about the design without too much of a hassle. But again, that's difficult because some companies don't really want you to be able to interact directly with their employees or, for example.
Yeah, that's kind of interesting.
So as a freelancer, it's a lot easier, right? Because it's kind of expected that you kind of contact each other and talk through all the stuff. But with like two agencies, for example, I think there's a really small chance that a developer is going to call a designer of another agency and talk through while he's working on the development.
Is there a reason that that's not being done?
I don't know.
It's just the style of...
Yeah, and I think also it has something to do with like billable hours, stuff like that. Because talking through a design doesn't have to be done for a company.
Well, maybe... Like in some cases, it should be done.
It should be
done,
yeah, of course. But it's, I think
it's an afterthought.
It has a low priority right now, and that's kind of sad.
Yeah, that is something interesting we should maybe discuss in a different episode.
Yeah.
About the ways of managing your own people and billing the hours for things that are maybe an afterthought for other companies, but for you.
Are we are we the right people though to talk about that subject?
I'm just like
maybe we should ask someone who knows.
Ooh,
yeah.
We're not like an authority on that topic.
Definitely. Yeah, I mean we don't have like employees or for example. We don't have a big company or something.
It's just we could share our experience and think out loud.
We've both worked at companies as employees, of course, so we kind of know what should or could work.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and maybe it's just like spitballing some ideas.
Of course.
For if you're listening and you're curious about, maybe changing that way of working, if you want to, up your level as a company and have that a little bit more personal side to your projects. Yeah. But maybe that takes a lot of time.
Like, what?
Spending so much time on work and thinking about work.
You should sometimes kind of, relax and take a little time for yourself.
Think about it. We're actually spending 5 days a week working and thinking about work. And then on Saturdays, we also do this thing.
Yeah. Well, I think we have it a lot easier than other people, though, because we are freelancers and we have mm-hmm. can kind of divide our own time over the whole week.
Yeah.
But if you're a full-time employee, I really had a struggle with like 40 hours a week working.
Yeah.
And like there are a lot of, requirements? No, there are a lot of, like stuff you have to do,
mm-hmm.
even though you don't wanna. So like meetings on Monday and then every day also like a stand up or something. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of time spending on things you don't really always wanna do at that time. So it's nice to have like a freedom to kind of pick and decide when you wanna do something.
Yeah.
For me at least.
Is that like, don't you think that's also very difficult as a freelancer? Like, to me, I personally struggle more with having a good balance to me, like health-wise, a good balance for work and leisure.
There will always be a problem. Some people can deal with it more easily than other people, but you have to really be careful and really keep in mind what you're doing and if what you're doing is good for your health also.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of times, like a few days ago, I guess, a recruiter was on vacation and he still texted me and called me.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, dude, you're on vacation, go have a vacation, you know? And he was like, yeah, well, it's normal in this profession. That's, no.
What? Okay, I don't want to bash them too much, but recruiters aren't actually working. So
that's another topic though.
so in his case I don't actually think it's weird.
Why just tell your colleagues that you're not available.
Mm-hmm.
Tell your colleagues they should. It's not like the company's gonna burn down when you're on vacation or something.
That's definitely I think mentally dividing divide between work and your personal life or like your hobbies and stuff like that is really hard.
It is hard, yeah.
Like,
but the only thing you have to do is just be mindful of what you're doing and be mindful of the amount of time you spend on certain things. If you have that, you can kind of, you know when it's too much and when you have to take a break and when you.
So do you think you can like have a constant amount of like an amount of time you should spend your life working and the amount of time you should spend relaxing?
I don't think,
or is it variable?
Yeah, I think it really depends on the person also. Again, you have to listen to yourself and you listen to your mind and your body. Ooh. If it's enough or not enough, right?
Yeah.
There are a lot of people who like really fill their like calendar or their, I call it their schedule, I guess, with a bunch of stuff and they feel great when they are busy doing stuff. Mm. But there are also other people who really like just sometimes to be able to just close the door and just stay inside and, just turn the lights off and watch a movie or something.
I guess it's very personal.
So that's also one of the reasons why I hate the whole 40 hours a week working and certain time till a certain time, because that doesn't work for everyone.
Yeah, I you're just saying out loud what I'm thinking as well. It's, to me, working is not something that you can do, especially if it has a bit of creativity. We're not just on a, we're not behind a, a belt.
Yeah, we're not just factory workers or something, yeah.
It's not something you can do mindlessly. So you do have to have this kind of mindset, and you have to be in the mood.
Yeah.
Like mentally, you have to be like relaxed and comfortable enough to think of a good solution in some cases.
Yeah, I've always, I think we've already kind of discussed this earlier or in another episode, but I really have a lot of respect for designers in this field and having a full-time job, because you have to be creative.
Yeah.
In a certain time period.
Yeah.
That's hard.
On the clock.
Yeah.
And you have to,
it's like,
do it over and over.
Yeah. It's like asking a famous painter, like, I don't know, Rembrandt, for example.
Yeah.
And it's like every day he has to paint one painting in a certain time, and it has to be the best that he ever made, you know?
Mm-hmm.
That doesn't work.
It's kind of interesting. It might be a good idea to get someone on the couch with us about this topic, a designer.
Yeah.
But yeah, I do think different professions, you know, you have to keep your mind and body healthy in a different way.
Mm.
And maybe designers who, you know, work 40 hours a week, they spend so much time thinking about their design and working out their design that they will have to relax really hard, if you know what I mean.
Like, or maybe it gets more natural. And the creativity just kind of, you know, flows out, and it's less of a struggle for them to deal with that, like, how do you call it, inspiration.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had periods in my life where I could like create good things in a long period.
Yeah,
but I would be like maybe after a year or something, I would be super tired and like maybe I wasn't keeping track of the time I spent working and the time I spent, you know, relaxing.
Yeah.
And like, is there something you do to make sure that you're not exceeding that limit, or
yeah,
is again, it something just subconsciously happening?
Yeah. Again, it's just a feeling for me, at least. I don't know if it works for everyone, but it's just, I notice when I'm tired, and I notice when it's too much, and I notice when I don't want to do something, you know.
Yeah.
You always have certain things you have to do, like you know, family and all that kind of stuff. But so yeah, you have to do that, but other stuff you can still decide if you should do it. And a lot of people don't really think about it. They're like, oh yeah, that sounds like fun, but in the back of their minds they are like tired, and they're like, I should, you know,
I should spend my time differently.
Yeah, I should probably like relax for a bit and, you know, feel a bit more, take a bit more time for yourself. Yeah. But
it's like, what do they call it? Not de-stressing, they call it depressuring.
De-socializing. No.
Depressurizing. When you that's one of the feelings I get, is when I work nonstop for 40 hours a week for a few weeks, I feel this kind of pressure in the back of my head.
Yeah.
And I do think like the saying to depressurize is fitting.
Yeah, that's nice.
I think it also means mentally and physically like letting go of things and just letting it all like slip out, like
but
like a fart.
Because you notice it, right?
Yeah.
It's like you feel it in your body, you feel it in your mind. It's just everything is just saying like, dude, you should probably relax for a bit.
Like, take your foot off the pedal.
Yeah.
Let go of the gas.
It's fine to not do something every day.
Yeah. And maybe that's something our listeners should also think about.
Yeah. Be mindful about life.
Yeah. In the end, so for me, in the end, it all is about yourself.
Yeah.
If you're going to be happy with what you're doing 40 hours a week, and you can deal with, you know, all the pressure.
Other, yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, you can keep doing it.
Just don't forget to listen to yourself sometimes and be mindful.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure if you discuss it in a normal manner, not when it's too late and we're like almost, you know, how do you call that?
Yeah, when you kind of explode.
And like a lot of people overwork, and then at the moment they might actually get physically sick or mentally sick even.
Yeah, I've been there for a while. Yeah.
And that's a bit too far. You should let your coworkers know that when you're having a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
If
there's, of course, the ability to do that, because there are sadly still companies that are not open-minded about the whole stuff. But
that's kind of the sad truth, but yeah. you should be, you know, taking control of your own life. And
you live your whole life with yourself,
yeah,
for yourself, not for someone else. Mm-hmm. So you are the most important thing in your life.
Be your own best friend.
Be your own best self.
Yes. Well, that was a good ending.
Yeah.
So thank you for listening.
And maybe even watching. No, but we'll see you next time on Erico Coffee.
I love you guys. Take care.
Yeah, take care. And love yourself.